Hey, Geekscapist, Jonathan the Podfather here. And when I first started Geekscape back in 2006, it was just a podcast, but then it grew into a podcast network and a community. And the whole plan was to turn it into a production company so we could make cool films and TV ideas and all sorts of stuff for you guys. We'll always be doing the podcast, but right now I want to let you guys know that we're running a Seed and Spark campaign for one of our first original productions. And this is a co-production with Dweeb Darlings and Fonco Studios called Stalking LeVar. It's a continuation of the web series Stalking LeVar. If you go online, go to YouTube or dweebdarlings.com and look for Stalking LeVar, and you guys will find a pretty fun two seasons of this show. We're going to make a short film out of it, but we're going to need your help. So go to seedandspark.com, search Stalking LeVar, as in LeVar Burton, and you'll find our project. Listen, if you can't donate, it's okay. Just follow and share. That'll help us out a whole lot. And then if you can donate, as some of your fellow Geekscapers have, we'd appreciate that too. The campaign's going to be running for a while, so I really, really appreciate you guys checking it out, and enjoy the rest of this show. Remember like a month ago when Brian talked about all the jizz that he got in his pants at night? Well, it turns out it formed a baby, and it's called The Kindred. It came out in 1987, and it was picked by Scott. So, Scott, you've been pushing for this for a very long time, and here we are.
Yeah.
And this movie was fun as shit. I almost wish that you had put it off for another year so I could have just watched the pristine DVD or Blu-ray that apparently is finally coming out.
Yeah, that's bullshit. They've been saying that for a year. You sent us that link, and they've been like, "Yeah, we finally got the rights. It'll be out in 2018." Yeah. By this point, it's like August of 2018.
Yeah, we're more than half the way done with the year.
It's still possible. I'm just saying, it's still possible.
That'd be a wonderful Christmas present for me.
I think that they're taking, because it is Severin, man. Severin takes the time to like make sure that DVD is worth the $35 that they're going to charge you.
Oh yeah, and you know they're getting like interviews with the people that haven't worked since being in this movie, and like shout out to Severin for being cool as shit.
So I made a slight mistake while watching The Kindred. So I need you guys to fill a gap in my brain.
I thought you were going to say fill a hole, and I was like, we're here for you.
Yeah. I almost did, and I was like, oh, that's not going to be a good word for me to use. So I was like, okay, I bet that this movie's going to be like a little bit of a slow burn, and I had like something that I needed to do real quick that was going to take like 3 minutes. So I was like, I'll hit play, I'll handle that thing, and then I'll come back. And there's like a car crash and like explosions and all this shit at the start of the movie, but I don't know if it ever comes up again. What was the purpose of the first 4 minutes of this movie?
So what it was showing that the pretty much the ambulance driver was in on these kidnapping of the brain dead babies, which you see when he goes to the guy's house. That's all it was they crashed into him. The guy told him to get out. He had to punch him in the face to make it real. And then he threw money on him, much like you do when you sleep with a woman, you punch her in the face, sprinkle some dollars on her and then leave.
Okay. So poor I was like, what the fuck? I think it doesn't help that all of the guys in this movie they have a similar haircut, so I couldn't tell who was who a lot.
If they remade this movie in 2018, they would all just have the barbershop cut, you know, like the side part that I've got.
I thought you were going to say if they remade this movie in 2018, they just get Eddie Murphy to play them all.
No. Is he still working?
No, it'd be Tyler Perry.
No, yeah, that's exactly. Yeah, you beat me to it.
You're the Kindreder.
Oh my God, Anthony's coming out. Hello.
So we'll start with the Dr. John stuff then. So the movie kicks off with Dr. John visiting his mother on her deathbed. And she's like,
I'm dying because of all the experiments I did, so destroy everything, all of it. It needs to go. Also, I had a son. His name's Anthony. And then two side guns. So John, this is like a thing that kind of bothered me in this movie with John. Your mom's dying words is like, I've got a son that no one knows about. You've got to help him. And then his interpretation of that is to ask everybody, yo, what's the deal with Anthony? And they're like, I don't know any fucking Anthony. And just puts so many people on the scent of what his mom was up to. So he tells Dr. Lloyd about it. And we know that Dr. Lloyd's not a great guy because he takes the ambulance driver and feeds him to the cast of Basket Case 2 in the basement.
So that was like one of my favorite scenes. Because he was just like, one thing my daddy taught me, never cross a man with killer eyes. And he's like, you think I have killer eyes? Yes, I do. But enough about that. I'll lead the way to this dark, safe-looking thing in your basement.
Well, and if we know anything about Brian, we know it's that he's constantly thinking about getting murdered by serial killers. So yes. You would not find yourself in this situation.
Absolutely not. People think I'm a gentleman? Because I always let someone walk in the door first. And it's like, no.
If that door is booby-trapped, they're going out. You're saved.
Yeah, absolutely not. No, Jade, you walk in first because I know I left the milk out last night and you're not happy with me.
So we have a cute dog alert at the 5-minute mark, just FYI.
Yes. And it looks like a dog with Beetlejuice.
I've got some beef with you, Scott. What? I'll get there shortly.
I've seen this movie 3 times now, and I forget every single time.
Yeah. So John visits Dr. Lloyd, and who doesn't know who Anthony is because, again, secret son. But this leads to Lloyd to visit his mom in the hospital and be like, yo, bitch, what's up with this Anthony shit I've been hearing about? And she's like, I'm going to tell John about you, but I'm going to die before I can.
He like choke the shit out of her first?
No, I think she just dies.
He doesn't choke her. He like takes her off the life support or something. And
he doesn't
then
let her call for the nurse.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah. It's the call button that he takes from her. And then she's overwhelmed and her heart stops.
I was going to say, otherwise it's just bad timing. She died by a terrible case of bad timing.
Okay, so you know how everybody becomes a fucking saint when they're dead? How people venerate the dead? This mom did horrible genetic experiments, but this priest is like, she's with the angels or some shit like that. And I'm like, man, no, she's burning in hell. Like, yeah. I don't even believe in hell, but she deserves to go there.
So here's the thing, though. How many people knew about the horrible genetic experiments?
Well, by the funeral, everybody. Because he went up to the pastor's like, you know about my deformed brother, Anthony, that my mom hasn't told anyone about?
And that's where he meets Melissa, who, like, is just like, oh, yes, your mom was – I was her biggest fan. And he's like, oh, well, then you should come to her house with me and help me clean the place up. You don't seem suspicious at all. So – this is my note. It was a stream of consciousness. Oh, no. If it wasn't for the fact that Scott picked this, I'd be pretty confident that dog's about to die. Oh, no. That dog died. What the fuck, Scott?
Look, listen. If anybody hates dog deaths, it's me. But I can look past it if they're as comical as that one, because it just looked like Fozzie Bear getting pulled off stage with the Shepherd's Cane. Like, it just looked like that dog had a bad bit, and they're like, all right, get off.
So my actual note for that is, God damn it, Anthony, don't you dare eat that dog. But he did. And I forget every time because that dog is cute AF.
It is a dog.
But that dog also is – there's a huge problem in this movie. And what this problem – like plot hole-wise in this movie is that no one ever acknowledges that people are missing. No. Ever. Yeah. It's never brought up that the dog's gone. When the watermelon kills a girl, they never bring up the fact that she never came back. Like, it's just
– yeah, didn't she just go on a beer run or something?
Yeah, she was And it's like 3 days later, no one's like, yo, where's Susan?
Now, don't try and sully my appreciation for this film, because you are right now. I just want to say, again, this movie rules, And it's so sad that – so here's my backstory of seeing it. It was – because as everyone knows, I don't pay to watch the movies that we would do for this show. So if I don't already own them, I look for them on YouTube. And if they're not – or Shudder or Netflix, whatever. 99% of the time I can find them on YouTube because they're all in like legal limbo. And yeah, that's what The Kindred is. And so we all watched the shitty VHS rip on YouTube. And it was such a nostalgia boner for me. I fucking love watching VHS rips. But anyway, I found it because I was watching something else for Horror Movie Night like a year or two ago, at least a year ago. And it came up and I was like, oh, The Kindred. I remember this cover, like the box art, but I never saw it. And I watched it and I remember like messaging Matt like, dude, this movie fucking rules. And so all three of us actually watched it like this because it's been forgotten, but it's such a good movie. It's so great.
It really is.
I don't want me poking holes to come off as like I dislike this movie. I had a blast watching this movie. Well,
you absolutely ruined this movie for me, Matt, in the intro, because I took this movie as probably what it was meant to be, which is like his mom took his blood to make Anthony. But yeah, when you had to bring up my jizz story, it just makes me think that she came into his bedroom and was like, "Can I take some of you?" And he's like, sure. She's like, okay, pull out your balls. Let me stroke your balls.
Yeah, it just turns into an Adam Sandler bit.
Yeah, holy shit.
Rub me a cock and balls for mama.
Yeah, you're beautiful, honey. You're beautiful. Some sandwiches? I haven't listened to that stupid-ass CD in like 25 years.
I will tell you this. At least 50% of the Adam Sandler CDs still hold up. And then at least 50%, you're like, okay, I'm not 12 anymore. But, dude, some of them are so funny. Joining the Cult is still so fucking funny.
My personal favorite has always been the old man balls.
Oh, my God. Just the water park part gets me every time when he starts. Just his big floppy balls bounce around. Holy Jesus, I wanted to lick them.
Fuck you guys for judging me. I am what I am.
And as childish as it is, Tollbooth Willie will always be fucking hilarious.
I'm also a big fan of Fatty McGee. I don't know why.
No more stairs. That's what I'm saying. Is all you can say the title of one of his stupid ass skits that I haven't heard for two decades. And I'm like,
and you just remember it.
Right back there. I'm in the junior high library listening to stupid ass Adam Sandler CDs with my best friends, laughing my ass off about the goat.
I'm pretty sure at Monster Mania we quoted sex or weightlifting for like two straight minutes. I think we may have.
If we didn't, we should have, because we should have talked about that during Death Spa.
Believe it or not, Adam Sandler was like the first CD I related to as a child.
Which makes absolute sense.
My dad made me play sports. And when I heard right field, I was like, this is actually what my life is like every Saturday.
He's just like, that's so good. That skit's so good between him in the game and his inner monologue where he's like, this guy sucks. Dear God, please don't hit to me.
Yeah. God, please. Oh, throw the ball, you retard.
So here's a quick question that we should probably save for a Growing Up Kelly episode. But so, Brian, your father made you play baseball, made you play sports. Did Matt get out of the sports?
I got it worse than anybody.
No, yeah. My dad wanted a son, and he never got one.
I think that might be the next Growing Up Kelly.
Okay. All right. So I'll get us back to where we were in the movie. So right before the dog death, the main guy, who I didn't even write down anybody's names, John.
There's John, okay, Melissa, John, and John's insecure girlfriend, Sharon.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about Sharon. She comes home. She comes back to his childhood home. They go up to his bedroom, and it's full of science equipment. And he goes, my mother said she was going to continue her research, but not to this extent. And then in parentheses, I have, glad I brought the group. And I can't remember if that was actually in the movie. But then the girlfriend is like, saying that she wishes that the science stuff wasn't in there so that they could fuck. And I was just like, yeah. Calm down. Your teenage sex fantasies can wait. We need to do science. But it's just so weird.
How many takes do you think that scene was?
One.
Because they were so – I don't know. Because they were so over it when he's just like, we have a lot of people coming to help. I'm sure Jessica can help you. Hey, now. He just says, hey, now. So defeated. Hey,
yeah,
no.
But then the friends start showing up, and the one guy is trying to quit smoking, and so he's got like the Pelzer cigarette dispenser from Gremlins 1.
yeah, he looks like Sid Vicious 30 Days Sober, the guy smoking.
And that dude lives.
Yeah. You know, actually, you know who he looks like? I just realized this. Bit of a deep cut. He's the like quote-unquote cool guy from Ghoulies that's like walking around with the sunglasses the whole fucking movie.
I haven't seen Ghoulies since I was 7.
I was about to say, it's been like a year since I watched it and I can't even remember.
Yeah. It's not a good movie. It's no Ghoulies 2 where Ghoulies goes to college.
Well, no, it's no Ghoulies 2. It really stops there.
I demand a Ghoulies Critters crossover. I demand it. It's 2000.
We already had Demonic Toys versus
Puppet Master.
Puppet Master versus Demonic Toys. It didn't work out.
Feldman in that?
Yeah, that didn't live up to the hype.
No, the puppets looked awful. It didn't look anything like those
movies.
It's
like they burnt every one of the good puppets from Demonic Toys, and they were like, let's remake them, but let's let five-year-olds design them. And
they
just gave everybody putty, and they're like, sure, make these with the clay. They were terrible.
Yeah, it was awful.
But then back to the kindred. So the girlfriend is still horny. She's still trying to bang him. And then the smoker guy kisses Doc Melissa and doesn't like the taste. And I'm like, is it because she tastes like cigarettes? No, it's because she tastes like fish.
Why are you talking about shrimp?
I actually do really like the fact that it's never explained. And that is, you know, more so than people just kind of getting killed off and nobody caring where they are. The bigger issue that I have is that so Melissa has the same genetic disorder somehow where she has the hemocyanin. I actually did write it down. So it's hemocyanin, which is a real thing. I looked it up. I don't think it really works like the pseudoscience in this film. But how does she have the same disorder? Is it that she was somehow exposed to it and then has this thing where she needs injections or else she'll turn into a fish person? I wish that would have kind of been discussed more because it was such a cool third act, like, oh my God, she's a fish person and blah, blah, blah. And that transformation is great because a lot of times we don't get a half transformation and then they die. We get like a full transformation and then they come after people. But we got this half transformation, which really looks absolutely torturous.
Very cool looking. Like that scene was very fucking cool.
There was one time where we got a half transformation and then the person died, Scott. Luke Skywalker in the Guyver.
Oh my God. I would argue that was a full transformation because although he's like, kill me, it's still, he's like pretty much completely a cockroach man.
Oh, wait, Jose, I want to read this one line before we get too far from the scene where it happened.
Please tell me it's the same one.
This is not a direct quote for the movie, but it's my version of this quote, which is, yo, this boring ass lullaby is really sweet. Can you throw it on a mixtape for me sometime?
Wow. I thought you were going to say his pickup line, which is, I promise I will never kiss anyone uglier than you, which I thought was awesome.
Man, I love that.
That is literally the next note that I have written down.
I think we're at the part, though, where the watermelon attack, right? The tentacles under the skin are so good. You know when we had to watch Body Melt and there were tentacles under the skin, they look like shit? This is awesome.
I don't disagree. This was really fucking cool looking.
Yeah, I loved it.
And then we find dude, I don't know his name, but some dude finds Duke the dog in the barn and we get a full-on shot of Anthony and then the burrower under the hay. And it's just like such a perfect creature feature.
Yeah, I have a note that I wrote down, which was a little bit of me bitching about the way that I watched it. but I had a note where it says, Anthony appears to be a massively awesome practical effect that I wish I could actually see properly on this rip.
I think although I think that kind of is good, where you don't see him complete full until the, well, and you almost don't see the full creature until the very, at the very end either.
I would put money down. This is like one of the few things where I feel like I have a good guarantee here. I think one of the goals when Severin actually does get this DVD out is that when this thing is restored to like a good HD quality, that you're going to get a really good look at that creature.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to look awesome. Like it looks like it was a lot of time and care put into it.
Yeah.
And I wish I could see it.
Yeah, the little baby one looks so cool too, but I just kept waiting for it to get up and sing Ragtime Gal. Like, you know,
Spaceballs. Yes. Yeah, oh my God. Hello, my baby. Oh man, that's actually a really good reference that I had not thought of, but I love when Melissa goes to the basement and then it's like coming out of the jar. And then she like snaps his fingers off and then she just leaves it. It's alive, you know, like she's a bad person who deserves to die. And then she does.
Well, but so that's a question though, that I actually have. Is like there's a couple Anthonys, right? We've established that.
There are like 15 of them.
But like here's my question, and maybe this was going to be addressed in Kindred 2 if they ever got around to making it. You know, like the Anthony that kills the girl through the watermelon, I don't think he ever comes back. You know what I mean? Like
that's the one that I believe that Anthony is the one that killed the dog, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And then that one dies in the car.
Okay, it died in the... I was going to say, because, like, is it just out in the wild now? Like,
no, I'm pretty sure that one died in the car or drowned. Well, no, it wouldn't have drowned because they're amphibious. But I'm guessing that one died. And then the Anthony was actually the big one that man, at the very... When we get to the end, I just cannot wait to gush over that final gooey-ass scene. But I think that's Anthony. And then the ones in the basement were other failed experiments. And I'm guessing also that the mutants in the basement at the beginning were a similar kind of experimentation, and they're all dead too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've covered most of the notes that I have as I'm looking at stuff from later on. We kind of talked about it earlier on. But when you guys were watching this, did it stop mid-movie for a commercial? Because mine did.
No, because I had it on the app. I watched it on the app. It connected to my
because I was watching it on my computer, and then like 45 minutes into it, it just stops for like a random commercial break, and I thought, really? Like
somebody's trying to make money off of watching the Kindred. In 2 years, they're gonna get a check from YouTube for $1.28.
Yeah, you're welcome.
It's not even enough to go rent the Kindred.
No.
I don't think you can rent it.
I'm pretty sure
we went looking for it and couldn't even find like I think this is the only copy is the one on YouTube or an $80 VHS currently.
That was the thing I was trying, because I don't like watching it on YouTube and stuff. I want to be able to put it on the TV and like really take in the whole movie and not be, I'm just easily distracted if I'm in front of my computer. And
it's so funny that you've talked about that before, and I just don't get it, because – and this is also something. I've been listening to a lot of Postmortem with Mick Garris. He's the guy that wrote and directed Critters 2, and he's just – he's the best. He's just the shit. I love the
way he also directed Sleepwalkers. Come on now.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't want to say anything about it because I feel like we might have been a little bit meaner about Sleepwalkers than we were on Critters 2. he is just such a fun dude. He's like so many people that you listen to interviews, you know, if you listen to Shockwaves or if you listen to Scored to Death, a lot of the people, those are my three big horror podcast that I listen to because they're interview style, and so many people that have that worked on horror in the 80s in particular were kind of just doing it because there was money there, not because they love horror movies. And Mick Garris fucking loves horror movies, and so we get like a really nice that other side of it where he is always kind of defending genre film instead of saying it as an apology, which is a lot of people that talk about it. Like Richard Band always seems like, yeah, it was there. I mean, and I love Richard Band's music, but I also have a real hard time with that. Like Dee Wallace is kind of ambivalent when I talked to her at Cinema Wasteland, but like when I talked to PJ Souls, she was like, I hate horror. It's like, oh shit, sorry.
So this was like, and this is going to date the recording of this just a little bit, but the other day they released the Halloween trailer for the new Halloween movie. And me and my coworkers were talking about it. And I said, you know, between A Quiet Place, this new Halloween movie, which is written by Danny McBride. And
which is wild to think. That's just crazy.
But and Get Out, it seems like the people who are really doing horror correctly are comedic people.
Yeah.
Because they understand pacing and how to like build to a punchline better. And you just replace punchline with scare and they already have the mechanics of how to properly set it up.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really funny because Mick Garris was talking about that. I don't remember who he was interviewing, but he was talking about how scare timing and comedic timing are very well interwoven. But the reason I mentioned Mick Garris was he was talking about how it's hard to watch movies at home and stay focused because we have a computer or we have a pocket computer, you know, our phones. And so I'm making a very dedicated effort, even for horror movie night stuff that I've seen before or stuff that I know is kind of silly, to stay immersed in it. You know, I'll take notes, and I take notes on a computer. But I think that if I can actively tell myself, okay, don't fuck with your phone. Okay, don't check Facebook. Don't read Reddit while you're watching movies. It makes for a more nostalgic, not nostalgic in the true sense, but more like I remember the way it was before smartphones and really prevalent computers, where I would rent 3 movies on a Friday night and I would watch them bam, bam, bam. And they are always horror movies. I would go and get, it was 3 for $3 at the video store I worked at. And I would just burn through, I would watch what, like 5 hours, 6 hours of horror movies. That would be my Friday night. People would be like out, they would go out and see a movie in theaters and then they would go like get dinner or, you know, snacks or something afterwards at some fast food restaurant. And they'd be like, do you want to come see this movie? And I'd be like, not really. You know, a lot of my time growing up was me knowing that I am kind of introverted and I needed to have time to myself. And so I would just hole up in my room for a Friday night. I'd make like, okay, I need to see people on Saturday night, but that means that then Friday night is just me time. And I would watch like a shitload of movies. And so I'm trying to go back to that. And I think that Mick Garris has a good point there. That came up because that whole tangent is because Matt was saying like he gets very easily
distracted.
Matt,
that's why I do my notes by hand. Anyway, back to the Kindred.
So we're at the best part of the movie now, right? The end where we actually get to see full on what Anthony looks like in his like 8 foot tall glory, and then they throw like a depth charge at him in his mouth. Not depth charge, it's electricity. I can't fucking remember. Because it explodes. And so I keep thinking like it's some sort of explosive, but it's just electricity, right? It doesn't matter. But then I love the fact that you see that, and they could have just gotten away with an exploding cast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, filled with goop, which is what any normal movie would have been. It would have ended the movie and it would have been like, but no, they decide that he's going to get exploded from the inside out. And then there's going to be a human form inside of it, pulling the electrical cord out of its mouth. And as it does that, it's disintegrating and it's breaking its jaw and chest open. It is so incredibly gory and gooey. I mean, it's not gore. It's gory like if you smashed a bug. It's not actual blood, but that is easily one of my favorite creature effects I think I've ever seen. And that's that part right there is exactly why I've been wanting to pick this movie for the podcast since I saw it, because it's just so creative and really actually pretty horrifying that behind all that monstrous outer part, the mom did kind of succeed by making a human inside there, but then it disintegrates into goop.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I thought that scene was fucking awesome.
And then we get more babies that need to get exploded in the basement. So it's like this movie just keeps on giving.
Yeah, because you thought it was over. It's not over. There's tons more Anthonys. But I also, before they electrocuted him, I completely forgot about the, maybe because I watched this in a few increments. So I forgot about like the Snow White style song that calms Anthony. So I genuinely thought when they grabbed the boombox and he says, I have an idea. I'm like, they're going to kill this monster with rock and roll repossessed style. And it's going to ruin the entire movie.
I wouldn't do that to you. I'll give you dog deaths, but I won't give you repossessed, all right?
Or like how the Goonies fought that squid with rock and roll. Yeah.
That didn't happen in the version I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's...
Brian can back me up, though. I
trust the you.
Squid. So what happened? I found out because I rented it at a friend's sleepover, and I was like, a lot of this stuff's missing. So the copy that we had was a rip from Disney Channel. We recorded it from that it was playing on Disney Channel. And because there's not a lot of scenes edited, but because there was some scenes edited, the edited version that they put on TV was actually had a bunch of deleted scenes, just random stuff. Like even them at the store in the one part is like a irrelevant deleted scene, but it's not in the actual theatrical release. And the octopus thing, yeah, is not in the movie. It's a deleted scene that they put because they had to cut out shit twice. And they're like, let's film this. Octopus thing. That's a fun fact for the day about Goonies.
All right. Well, anything else that we want to talk about with this?
No, I think it was a good movie. I think that 90% of the, at least since I've been on the show, this is the first movie that I would actually suggest people that listen to this podcast to watch. There's some like kind of like
no
goofy scenes. No, do not watch Bugged. Bug is a bad movie. Do not watch Bugged. But there's some like scenes that you can riff on, you know, like when the kid AMAs from the hospital, it's very like Three Stooges style where he like knocks them over with a fucking whatever those things are that you wheel dead people with. But aside from that, it's like a gurney. Yes. Yeah. He throws the gurney in front of the doctors, which I work in a hospital style setting. No one cares if you want to leave that bed. You just, they're like, hey, you shouldn't do that. You leave. That's it. But as far as like I feel like it's disrespectful to this movie that we did it almost. I think it's a genuinely good horror movie.
But that's the thing is that's what you don't understand. And I know that there's a serious learning curve being a full-time co-host on Horror Movie Night. And also for listeners, like, we don't just pick really shitty horror movies. It's mostly just stuff that gives us that it's a lot of really like light horror and a lot of body horror and gooiness. But it's not that we just pick bad horror movies. It's that your brother picks bad horror movies and makes you watch
them. Well, no, don't say that. Some of them have been good. But the way I always worded it was that the show celebrates the movies that we know weren't as good as our nostalgia makes us believe it. Like,
except for this one. This one is better than like nostalgia. Maybe my nostalgia is making me like it more, but man, I love this movie.
I always felt like Horror Movie Night, even when we're trashing the movie, it's still a celebration of like 80s and 90s nostalgia growing up.
Yeah.
Because like very, very rarely is it a movie that we pick that wouldn't have been a movie we would have watched with our friends at like a sleepover on a Friday night. Like very rarely is it not one of those types of films.
Yeah, until your next pick, Brian, you ass.
Well, like I said, it's a learning curve, and I wish I would have learned before I put 30 really bad horror movies on my watch list.
You know, you're allowed to delete them.
Nope.
Yeah, please do. If you want me to do it for you, I will.
Look, there is something that I'm not going to give away, but it involves a werewolf and Congress that I am not taking off the list.
Oh, no. I am. I don't even care that we don't talk about 60s horror movies. That title has me intrigued. Yeah. Hey guys, we'll be right back at that episode in just a second, but I wanted to take a couple minutes, not even a minute, less than a minute, probably about 30 to 45 seconds, I believe, is the length of the instrumental that Scott recorded that you're hearing underneath me. Scott's great. You should listen to all of his music. I just wanted to let you guys know that if you haven't already, head up over to patreon.com/HMN podcast
And if you are donating $5, you can listen to our new bonus episode, and it is on UHF. You can also listen to the back catalog of episodes. We're up to 4 Patreon bonus episodes now. We've talked about Turbo Kid and the Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension and the Nicolas Cage Wicker Man. And this month, as I've already said, UHF. Now, back to the episode.
So what did you guys watch this week?
Let me start it off here. I only got one. Well, I finished Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 3. I already said something about that. And, oh, man, what a great, great show. Arguably the best horror TV show ever for me. I mean, it's just – it hits
better
all
than
the,
Todd?
Yeah, absolutely better than Todd.
Wow.
Yeah, I loved Todd, but I feel like the rewatch factor of – Ash versus Evil Dead, because I could start season one all over again right now, and it's only been like 2 months since I watched the first season. It's so good. And Bruce Campbell, still not my favorite. I still prefer Jeffy Combs, but Bruce Campbell just kills it. And it also reminded me why I loved horror growing up. I grew up in a small town. So much horror has kind of gotten away from that small town vibe. And that's why I loved Halloween and Nightmare on Elm Street and all those movies where they are in small towns, like Evil Dead it's all set in Elk Grove, Michigan. I love Midwest horror. It's so much better because it preys on what always scared me, which is like, what are your neighbors really? You know, kind of like The Burbs, right?
I was going to say, that's why you love The Burbs so much.
Yeah, it is. But Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 3 was so good. I think that they wrapped up the series very well. I really wish we could have gotten a fourth season to do what they kind of joking. I think that they knew that they were going to be done after season 3 when they were writing it. I wish that I could see those characters go forward into what they had planned. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but absolutely watch it. It is so good. But I also started Bates Motel and I hated it. We watched the first episode. Megan and I watched it together and I don't know if I messaged both of you or just you, Matt. And I said, hey, so we started watching Bates Motel. I'm not feeling it. And you told me what the whole point of the show is. And I have no desire. I fucking hate the concept. And I hate the fact that it is in modern day. And I mean, the acting is fine, but it just – no, the pacing sucks. Speaking of shitty pacing, I watched a movie as well. It's a Shudder exclusive, and it has the main guy who plays David in John Dies at the End.
I still need to see that. I finally finished the book.
Okay, so you're going to be really disappointed by the movie. Entertaining in a Don Coscarelli way, and I do think that it's Phantasmverse, but John Dies at the End is such a better book, and if you want a copy of This Book is Full of Spiders, I will lend you my copy or just give you a copy because it's better than John Dies at the End. But so it's the guy that plays David in John Dies at the End, the film, and the woman who plays Amy in John Dies at the End, the film. And it's called Sequence Break. And it is very firmly in the Beyond the Gates kind of 80s horror pastiche. Trying to hit that nostalgia with synthwave, and it's about like a killer arcade game, but it's in modern time.
I know, it's not gonna be like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like Evil Speak, but not good.
I think Brian was referring to when we made him watch Arcade.
Yeah.
No, it's so much worse than Arcade. It's like if Arcade and Videodrome had a baby, but the baby was a tortoise. That's how bad the pacing was. I appreciate the style of the movie, and I appreciate the fact that it seems like it was a very small budget film, and I want them to do well, but it's not for me. I felt like the script was very, very weak. I want my hour and 40 minutes back.
So don't watch it.
No, but listen to the soundtrack because it's pretty fucking good.
Well, I wish you would have. Well, it didn't actually work out, but I'm glad that you brought up Bates Motel, because that was actually on my list of things that I was interested in checking out. And now I don't want to.
You really don't want to, man. It is. If it was like a period piece, it could do the same thing. But if it was in 1955 or something like that, or 1950, you know, just it would be post-war. It would be everybody wearing period outfits. If they could have done Mad Men meets Hitchcock, that would have been the best fucking show ever. But yeah. It's not. It is not that at all. It's modern day. The kid who plays Norman Bates looks like Norman Bates, but he has a very punchable face because he's always like half crying. And the woman who plays his mother is pretty good. Like I said, I only watched one episode, but she's pretty good at being a domineering mom and everything. But I just – it grates on me. I couldn't handle it. And also the first episode has a violent rape in it. And so I was like, nope.
I'm not a rape guy.
I would hope not.
Yeah. I know I'm against the popular opinion, but I am not a fan of rape.
When Scott asked me if I had seen Bates Motel, I think my answer was the TV show or the TV movie from the 80s.
And you're the only person that knew that there was a TV movie from the 80s, including people that were in it.
Yeah, it's so
Coke
bad.
Made me forget.
Yeah.
So it's starring Bud Kurt, who was Harold in Harold and Maude. And the concept is that he purchases the Bates Motel and it's filled with ghosts. And the concept was that they were trying to turn it into a weekly TV series where every week he helps a different ghost fulfill what they've been longing to do so that they could pass on into the next generation or like into the next.
So I would totally watch that if it wasn't about Norman Bates's motel.
Yeah. Like yeah. It was so like ham fistedly brought into the concept. Oh, it's bad. I bought it. I got a copy of it when
I
bought
it.
Well, I bought the Star Wars holiday special off some dude.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man.
And he was like, he's like, hey, man, I got a few other things if you just want them. Like, it was just like random bootlegs of shit. So it's like, all right. So he sent me that. He sent me Let My Puppets Come, the all puppet porno.
Is that on VHS or DVD?
It's on a burnt DVD, but it's definitely a VHS rip. So I'll get that over to Steven. But anyway, Brian, what did you watch this week?
So I showed Jade, we were just looking for a movie to watch, and I was like, I need to go to bed. So I was like, here, I put on, this is a pretty good movie I've seen, because she's usually annoying about not wanting to watch movies I already saw. I don't know why.
Yeah, like annoying.
Annoying, because it's like, I can watch a movie more than once. She's like, I don't want to see if you haven't already seen it. But she agreed to watch Scott Pilgrim. And like, that's a movie that I don't watch often. But every time I do, I'm like, I don't understand how this isn't like my top five favorite movies. Like, I think Scott Pilgrim is such an awesome movie.
It's
I
a great
love
movie,
Edgar Wright.
But yeah.
It's a fantastic adaptation as well, I think.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. I love that movie, but I don't think that it's like, I don't think that it's one of those movies that I want to like more than I do. And I really like it watching it in pieces. It's actually when I watch it all the way through that I'm like, eh.
I don't know, man. I love like the thing that makes me love that movie so much is the final battle, because it's just not done. Like, you don't do that in a movie. You don't build up to this big final battle and just have him walking out like, oh, yeah, that was nice. He's a nice guy. We're going to go get pancakes next week. Like, I think that scene always makes that movie great for me. And I'm really excited just to throw it out there. Speaking of, even though it's not an Edgar Wright movie, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are working on their new horror comedy that looks super fucking cool.
Awesome. I haven't heard anything about it. I just knew they were doing something. What is it?
It's like a boarding school that's next to or on top of pretty much like this military type thing. I think it's like a boarding school for like one percenters or something like that. And pretty much all these like monsters and shit gets released into the school. And it's just like a student
incredible.
Survival. Yeah. Like, it just looks awesome. There's nothing shot on it. There's no pictures. It's just reading. So the words look awesome, but
it sounds awesome and we would have accepted it.
Yeah. What's the thing where you look with your, where you look with words, sounds? Yeah, that's it.
All right. So I watched two things that I want to bring up. I'll keep it pretty short. One was Pin, which is one of my favorite movies that we'll never talk about on this show.
We talked about it on Reddit Horror Club, though.
We did. But it's a damn good, like, creepy movie. Like, it's just a creepy movie. We were talking about, it fits in with us talking about Bates Motel, actually, because it has a very, like, Norman Bates-esque character. But just a very good... Brian, have you ever seen Pin? I feel like you would like Pin.
Never saw
Pin. Pin's fucked up. Yeah, it's fucked up. It's great. And then last night, I was hanging out with the Jersey Ghouls, and none of them had ever seen Phantom of the Paradise before. So we sat down and we watched Phantom of the Paradise, and like, they were, I, you know, Marissa walked away from it and was like, I kind of want to watch it again, like right now, because I feel like there's so much happening in that movie that I'm missing things and need to revisit it. And then Jackie was like, I was like, did you like it, Jack? And she goes, I think I liked it. All I know is that it kept my attention for 90 straight minutes, and I am fascinated by what I watched. And I'm like,
I feel like that was my first watch, too.
Yeah, like, it was just like, what is, like, it's such, there is no movie. And, like, it's one of those movies where I had to keep reminding them, like, this is before Grease. This is before Rocky Horror. Like, because there's elements where you're like, oh, they're just trying to combine these two really popular musicals. And it's like, no, this predates both of those very popular musicals.
Yeah.
It's a very ahead of its time, like, film. The songs, like, I just think I have a deeper appreciation for the songs in that movie every time I watch it. Like, Paul Williams, that may have been Paul Williams, like, best songwriting collection there.
It has to be. So I, as I've said multiple times, I found that on vinyl, like, an original pressing of that for, like, $10 at that record exchange I was talking about recently. And that was probably the, I can just stop looking for horror vinyl because I'll never find that again. Like, I'll never have that good of a surprise.
So
I listen to that semi-regularly. I'll put it on when Megan and I are cleaning the house or something. And she loves it. She's never seen Phantom of the Paradise, but she loves the music to it. Absolutely loves
the
it.
The lyrics in that are like, the hell of it, the hell of it has some of the best lyrics I think Paul Williams has ever written. It's such a dark, angry pop song.
Yeah. nothing in that is as good as Life at Last, obviously. Yeah. But
like the hell of it is very good. The one line, it's like, even though your music lingers on, the rest of us are glad you're gone.
Yeah.
like it's just such a pissed off, like, angry song. But Brian, I know I was trying to get you to watch it when you were out here with Jade, and it was just very difficult to do anything in a small 48-hour window.
Well, I'm kind of pissed because we could have watched it. You know, I didn't watch it for sake of Jade. Watched the Poughkeepsie Taste, and she fell asleep 5 minutes in.
Well, I guess she's going to be the one that gets murdered by a serial killer.
Yeah, no, I am on top of it. I will not. No, that sounds bad. I am not going. If she gets killed, it was not me. I'm not the one that's going to murder her. I'm saying that I
like how this half of this episode is Brian being like disclaimers,
which just makes him all the more suspicious. Yeah, time.
There's a stalker book.
Yeah, right. So I don't like rape, and if you ever hear anything with rape in my name, just know that it's not true. I don't like it. And I don't plan on killing my girlfriend.
I'll cut that. So that was The Kindred from 1987, is picked by Scott. So let's play a little game.
Cool.
All right. So this little game is, let's try to guess what movie we would have been forced to watch if we had picked other co-hosts instead of Brian to be the permanent co-host. I mean, it's easy. Brian Berger would have made us watch Ant Farm
Dickhole.
Kyle would have made us watch the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Next Generation.
Yeah. What would Dylan have picked?
Dylan probably would have picked something like a heavy metal
horror film. Yeah, Shock 'Em Dead. He would have made us watch Shock 'Em Dead.
Yeah, he would have made us watch Shock 'Em Dead as his first movie. And Steven would have just done some garbage on VHS, I'm sure. And I don't know, Katie would have made us watch like Necromantic or something. But
oh my god, so glad we didn't pick Katie.
But somehow Brian picked the worst kickoff film I've ever seen anyone pick. So Brian, congratulations. I'm excited to see how this goes. I paid my $1.25 to have the DVD shipped to me.
I got it at Goodwill. I got it at Goodwill. And I know we can't say the movie, but oh man, I bought this movie 3 years ago. And the reason that I
have not watched it yet
is that exactly. It's like, all right, I spent two hard-earned dollars on this movie. And I need to
watch. I could have had two candy bars.
All right. So tune in next week to see what garbage Brian's making us sit through.
This is my spoiler for the episode. Not the spoiler, but this is my hint. All right. I don't want to wait.
I was just going to say that.
For this movie to be over.
I was just going to sing that song too.
Don't forget to contact us on HMN Podcast on Twitter, and you can hit us up on HMN Podcast on Instagram. We've got the HMNPodcast.com, which also has a link to our Patreon account, patreon.com/HMN Podcast, and our Facebook group. And you can email us at HMNPodcast@gmail.com. Oh, there's so many ways to contact us, and it's all easy to remember because it's the same thing. It's a beautiful thing. So we'll be back next week to go over all of the regret that we have for our decisions.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.